a Russian hack exposed emails from the campaign manager, John Podesta, that was widely covered. I'm Christina Onnestad reporting for Pacifica Radio.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Afternoon, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, wherever you are listening to Taking Action here on WPFW 89.3 FM, listener-supported WPFW. I want to inform you that here on Taking Action, we have a goal of $500 this afternoon to raise. We are in our summer drive, and we count on you, our listeners, our community, to help us raise the necessary funds to keep our show going, and more importantly, to keep this beacon of light that is WPFW going. So if you are, if you enjoy our programming, if you are able to make a donation, once again, we have a goal of $500 to raise this hour. You can do so by calling 202-588-9739 or 800-222-9739. Or you can go on our website, wpfwfm.org. We really do count and are so honored and thankful for the support that our listeners show us year in and year out to ensure that this type of media, this type of music, this type of programming that you hear every day around here at WPFW is making. I want to welcome Jimmy Tracy. He is a leader with the Union of Physicians and Dentists, and he's here to talk to us about some issues they are having with Unity Healthcare here in the district. I want to welcome Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much once again for taking the time. Jimmy, before we get started, I always like to just get a little background on who I'm talking to. If you would just tell us a little bit about yourself, we'll get into the substance of the interview right after. But if you could share with the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'm happy to. Thank you for having me on. My name's Jimmy Tracy. I'm a nurse practitioner, so I'm a family nurse practitioner at Unity Healthcare. And I work at Upper Cardozo Clinic, which is in Columbia Heights. And I've been there for over 11 years. And so I basically do primary care. So that means I have, you know, a big, you know, 1,000 people who I take care of as a primary care provider. And yeah, and I'm very, very happy to do so. It's a wonderful patient here in Washington, D.C.
That's right. No, I know the site well. I used to live right down the road from it, so I always walk past it. Once again, so much for your time and for raising up this important issue. Because as you mentioned, you yourself serve, you know, a significant amount of folks, and Unity Healthcare serves, you know, thousands of folks here in the district. And we want to make sure that, you know, they are, you know, working on all cylinders, they're hitting all cylinders, so the best care can be provided to district residents who need that care. Let's talk a little bit about the unionization campaign of folks there at Unity Healthcare. In 2023, the healthcare providers there at Unity Healthcare unionized. Can you tell us about this process? Why was the decision made to do this?
We feel that especially after the pandemic, the healthcare system has changed quite a lot, and a lot of things have changed. And there are different kinds of work. There's different kinds of healthcare that exist that didn't exist before. But what happened was at Unity, they instead of trying to kind of evolve or listen to the providers who have been taking care of patients for so long, they moved in a direction that was meant to just try to make the providers see more patients, more patients, more patients with less support. And we felt that this was unsustainable as providers because people could so easily leave and go to another clinic. Unity needs to recommit themselves to creating a good, healthy environment for providers to work and for us to take care of patients so that we can take care of patients. And we felt that in last year, Unity had gone too far in the direction of expecting us to do more with less and create unsustainable working conditions, and to the detriment of our patient care. And so we decided to unionize so that we providers, physicians, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, dentists, could participate more fully in helping Unity become a better clinic, one that can provide quality primary care for people so that the Washington, D.C. residents can have what they deserve, which are providers who know them, who understand where they're coming from, who know them from year after year. And that's really what people want. They want to know who their providers are. They want their providers to know them. And we want to create those conditions. We don't want to have a system where we're just seeing as many patients as possible and just running through people like a walk-in clinic. We want to create a good working condition so that people can work there for years and years and take care of their patients. And that's why we decided to unionize, so that we can help to form better policy.
That's great. No, definitely it's important, as you mentioned, to have a semblance of community in these type of direct services that are provided to district residents. I think that's really important. If you could just talk to us a little bit about the populations you all serve. Who do you all come
from? Oh, yes. Well, we take care of the best patients in the world. That's why I've been there for as many years as I have. The patients, mostly at Upper Cardozo, I see mostly immigrant populations, but also a lot of variety of other folks, from low-income, middle-income, and just people who have lots of wonderful stories to tell, experiences from other places, who teach me about the community, who teach me always about what's important to people in Washington, D.C. We have the best patients in the world. Now, Unity has clinics across the city in most wards of the city, and so, So we definitely have a wonderful, array of people and experiences, just like our providers have a wonderful array of experiences. Great patients.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for us to underscore, that everybody needs medical services. And as Jimmy mentioned, they are seeing a wide array, and definitely people, low-income folks who definitely need this type of support, in the neighborhood, as Jimmy mentioned, so thank you for that. Now, as you mentioned, post-COVID, you have noticed some changes in that. The healthcare, but it would appear probably in the industry, and you have seen some significant attrition there at UHC. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I think this is very much at the heart of it. There is a lot of competition these days in order to keep providers. Now, we're all committed for a bunch of different reasons to, and good reasons, to take care of patients at Unity Clinic, especially vulnerable patients. But, you know, the market is bigger than that. We have to attract people and retain people who just want to have a job. It needs to be a realistic, normal job where you can come in, see a reasonable amount of patients, do a reasonable amount of paperwork, and go home, because some people are just, that's what they need. Now, I personally feel very much the mission of Unity. That's why I've been there for so long, and I love taking care of the patients. It's going to take a lot to get rid of me at Unity, but a lot of people just want a job. They want to go and see a reasonable amount of work, and, other healthcare jobs, especially for physicians and nurse practitioners, they will pay better at other sites. They will expect less hours out of people. And we need to improve our working conditions so that we can continue to staff our clinics. Right now, we are a lot of our clinics are almost empty. Now, I still want people to go and seek out healthcare at Unity. I don't want to say that. I mean, we want people to go to Unity. We just want to make sure that at Unity there are going to be enough staff to take care of to meet the demand of the city.
That's right. And this as you were talking, Jimmy, it reminds me of some work that I did in the past with the Washington Teachers Union, where they were having similar issues of, you know, a lot of churn at the schools and teachers having to do a lot more than they expected and was likely in their contracts. And one thing that always rang in my mind that they would say was, you know, the conditions or the outcomes of the students at these schools depend a lot on their teachers. So if you have overworked teachers that are unhappy because of this, it's going to reflect in some of those outcomes. Although those folks care, you know, about their students and about their communities, that burden, that overburdening, certainly has an effect on the whole spectrum, right, from the teacher all the way down to the student. So I think, you know, that if I'm not mistaken, that's what you're saying. If we want to provide the best care for, you know, the most important clients, as you mentioned, patients, we need to be working on all levels, right, and make sure that everybody's taken care of and protected and have what they need and aren't overburdened. So
that's right. Yeah, we don't want to make mistakes. We don't want to be rushed. It's more about giving the time to our patients. That is what we're hoping for, is to have more time, the ability to take the time to speak with our patients, not feel rushed like we have to go from one room to the next as fast as possible and have to all the while taking care of a lot of paperwork. We want to make sure that we're giving people the care they deserve.
That's right. That's right. No, and that was going to be my question, and you very astutely follow that up. You know, like, what does it mean for the remaining staff? What are they having to put up with? But, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, if folks are having to balance a heavier workload, that means that some things are going to take longer, potentially, you know, fall through the cracks. So you definitely don't want that in that type of setting, in any real type of setting, to be honest. But
We found I think that our experience in the field working with patients, we understand as workers better what people really want and value, the patients want and value. People love to be heard. They like when we reach out to them. They don't like to be rushed. So I think that it's our experience that really is what we want to bring to bear as a union, is to try to inform the healthcare system with the wisdom that we've gained by working in the field.
Yeah, so So you all are trying quite a bit of things. Obviously, unionization was the first part, getting organized, getting folks together on the same page, making a demand and trying to put some power behind that demand. As I understand it, you all have tried to engage with the board of directors, which is a significantly sized board. I was looking at the website, and it's a large board there. Talk to us about that level of engagement, and has that, you know, led to anything? How has that been trying to engage at that level?
The board of directors has chosen to abstain from participating in the bargaining process so far, but which I can understand why. However, they really should not stand by while the clinics are losing staff and not performing to the you know, anywhere near the level that they should. So we haven't gotten much response from the board of directors, but we really expect them to try to step in and try to, aside from the bargaining process, at least step in. I mean, they don't have to wait until there's a contract. They can come in and try to do whatever they can right now to help us, to help the patients, to help the clinic. So, so if any of the large board of directors is listening, we're just asking not for you to participate necessarily in the bargaining committee process, but certainly come and meet us just as employees, as concerned individuals, to help make the clinic better now, not just when the contract between the providers and management is signed.
That's right. No, and I mean, I think this, and you know, there's probably like legality and all of that involved. But yeah, at the end of the day, you are all there in one capacity or another to serve district residents, their health needs. So the more channels of communication can be open, the more dialogue that can happen, the better that district residents are served. So I think that's important. As you mentioned, if anybody's out there listening that is on the board or has some sway, I think it would be really important to engage in these conversations. You all have also taken some collective action. You've done a couple of actions to raise awareness, bring attention to what's happening. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, we've definitely had some successful outreach to the community, including WPSW. Thank you so much. And we are trying to, at this point, we're trying to create more urgency so that, because I do think that, for example, we've had a rally, we've had a lot of media outreach, we have other events in the offing, but the goal of it is really to generate urgency on the side of unity management. I think they through our actions, hopefully they see how much this matters to us. We're doing this in our, most of the providers are doing this and are working full-time and doing this in their spare time, organizing to try to just build urgency for the sake of the clinic. So, yes, a lot of our, we are in the process of creating more and more public buzz and outreach so that we can, just let everybody know how important this is. This isn't something that can wait until the contract gets signed when, you know, Unity Management feels like they want to sign it. There are issues here that are urgent and need to be fixed right now. So that's why we've been doing a lot of outreach, and hopefully we'll be working together through the, you know, through media channels to sort of to advertise more of those actions we're going to be doing in the future. We're going to be participating in the rally on Labor Day at Freedom Plaza with a lot of wonderful community activists. So, we're going to keep the pedal to the metal for sure.
No, and that's so important because there's so much going on in the district right now. So much that is affecting working class people that in order to keep and bring this sense of urgency, it is important to stay active and to, you know, be in front of decision makers, putting out these messages. Like, I have just a little break here, and
sure.
We're going to be right back to continue the conversation because I want to talk to you about the city council, get a general sense of what the demands are, and then more importantly, how folks can support you all in the good work that you're doing. But I do need to remind our listeners, our supporters, those folks that make this show possible, that make WPFW a possibility and have kept us going for several decades now, many a decade now. We are in need of your support today. I have a goal of $400 to raise. $400 left to raise, so we're on the board. We definitely need your help right now to make it all the way and meet the goal. I'm going to put out the number, but then I want to say a couple of things. 202-588-9739 is the number. 1-800-222-9739 is another number you can call. Or you can always go online to wpfwfm.org to make your secure online donation. Really would appreciate the help. Here at Taking Action, we are so thankful to WPFW for allowing us to have this show now for several years where we our goal is to really highlight those folks that are putting their shoulder to the wheel around important issues that help district residents have better lives, right? So we're talking right now to Jimmy Tracy, who is doing work to improve the working conditions and in turn the outcomes for patients served at Unity Healthcare. This past week, we were talking with someone from from Just Recovery DC, who are working on a better, more equitable tax system. And every week, we try to bring you folks who are working on active campaigns, who are leading the charge, who are sounding the bell on important issues that affect district residents. We believe in justice. We believe that housing is a human right. We believe that people should have a platform like this to speak out and to gain support from folks who share the same values and care about the same issues. So that's what we try to accomplish here on Taking Action. And as you well know, there are other shows here on this station that aspire to do the same. At the end of the day, I think we're all trying to, in one way or another, improve the lives of district residents. And that may be through some of the great music that we play, some of the great programming that we provide, the news, all of these kind of things, we hope improve the quality of life, inform, educate, and bring us closer together as a community. And as I mentioned, for many a decade now, listeners have made this possible. So we are really thankful for your support, folks who have made donations in the past. We hope you would consider making another donation. Folks who may be new to the show, new to the station, please consider making a donation. We have $400 left to raise in what remains of this show in about 30 minutes. So we would really, really appreciate your support. You can call 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739. Or you can always go online to wpfwfm.org. Your donations go such a long way. They make sure that, you know, we're able to be here, to adjust when needed, you know, to have the supplies that we need. And it just really, really is important that we work on this together. So thank you all once again. We really do hope that you are able to help us out in the time we have left. 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739. 9739 or WPFWFM.org. Thank you very much. We're going to continue now the conversation we've been having here with Jimmy. Jimmy Tracy is a, he works at Unity Healthcare. He is part of the Union of Physicians and Dentists. They just unionized about a year ago to bring protection and attention to some of the issues workers are faced there. Of course, the better working conditions that folks have there, the better outcomes that patients that go to Unity Healthcare have. Jimmy, we were just talking about some of the action you all were taking in order to bring attention to this. So you guys are you know, doing a great work of doing the inside and out kind of game. You all have interacted with City Council. You know, how what do you think? You know, what's the response from City Council? What are they saying? What are you hearing? What do you think about their response?
I'm happy to say that we've got an audience with City Council members in their office very early on in the process, and there was some support for our effort to create a contract, a good contract with Unity. That was at the very beginning of the process. Since then, they, like the Board of Directors, have chosen to steer aside from too much additional support, which, you know, I think is a little disappointing. I think we could definitely use the support of City Council because they hold the purse strings in Washington, D.C. They can definitely help to, basically the outcomes of Unity at Unity are somewhat the responsibility of the City Council and our elected officials. So again, as I said before, it's what's going on at Unity is beyond our bargaining process and coming to a contract with our employer. It's about shining a light on the situation there, which is not very good right now. We need City Council to step in any way they can urgently to look into the management, the running of the clinic. They need to help us they can also do a lot simply by supporting us publicly. And because the outcome, not just of our contract negotiations, but the health of the clinic is very much their responsibility. We're hoping that City Council and other elected officials feel free to take, you know, to see our side of the story and to support us in coming to a contract quickly so that we can get Unity back on its feet.
No, yeah, I think that is really important, you know, especially the ward-based council members. I think for you all it would be Brianna Doe, who may head up the appropriate committee on the City Council, if I'm not mistaken.
Council member Henderson. Yeah, Council Member Henderson from the Health Committee did issue a letter of support for us and for the process. So yes, we appreciate her and Council Member White also. So that was encouraging. But it's true that we could definitely. I think all sides would benefit from the participation of elected officials in fixing the problems there at Unity.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And I apologize. Maybe I should have asked this a little earlier, but you know, folks have a better understanding of why you all are doing this and how it affects, obviously, your patients. Can you talk to us about, like, what are the demands? What do you all want to see happen there on staff so you all can be working at your best?
Absolutely. So what it really comes from is a desire to strengthen primary care. As we know, the medical system in America was crafted not with any sort of plan or wisdom. It's a patchwork system and we all know it's imperfect. A system where people get, we only get paid when we see a visit. You know, and it's just not a very perfect system. And we, at clinics like ours, we're limited. We can't change the overall healthcare system in America, the way that Medicaid pays, the way that insurance pays. But we do have the opportunity to prioritize primary care and not a sort of, a fly-by-night sort of urgent care system where we're just seeing as many people as possible. So within that, so what we're asking for in our demands is we want, for our physicians to have more than just, and I say this in quotations, like 15 or 20 minutes to see the patient. We need more time to see patients because 15 to 20 minute visits sounds like, oh, you're sitting and you're talking for 15 and 20 minutes. But in reality, that's not how it works. People show up late, things take a long time, some patients take longer than others. In reality, to do good primary care, we need more time to sit with our patients. And that means, yes, we need to create longer visit opportunities so that we can sit and talk to our patients, understand what's underlying a lot of their health problems, understanding the obstacles to their health care. So we're asking for basically more time with our patients, with each individual patient. And we're also asking for more time to take care of our paperwork, which we do constantly during visit hour, during patient hours, and other hours on the weekends. But we really just need more time to deliver the kind of quality primary care that these patients deserve. And so, just as an idea, just to think about, we are asking for, so the patient, right now, physicians are expected to see up to 24 patients a day. Now, if you think about primary care, all the problems somebody will come with in primary care, those are diabetes, high blood pressure, all of your cancer screenings, your vaccinations, you're talking about your history, family history. There's so many, and that's like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. And not to mention the fact that your knees hurt and your head hurts and you couldn't make it to the appointment because your transportation issues. There's so many things that we have to do in primary care, Daniel. And I'm not complaining about it. It's wonderful. It's what we do and we want to do it. But it's in order to do it well, we cannot be rushed. And so what we're asking for is the ability to do prioritize primary care, make sure that we're doing our job well, not just doing it quickly, not just doing it to keep the lights out, the lights on or whatever, and just to make extra money. We need to do it well and then find a way to stay solvent. And we are eager to help figure this out. To stay solvent as a clinic while delivering high-quality primary care. That's our mission, and it's always been our mission since the day all of us have started at Unity Healthcare. And to be honest, not just Unity. Mary Center, Community of Hope, all these other clinics in D.C., it's the same thing. Their mission is to deliver high-quality primary care for the patients and stay solvent. And that's really all we want. So we all want the same thing, but it's that Unity needs the input of their providers in order to figure out how to thread that needle.
No, that's right. Thank you so much for flagging that. And as you know, somebody that does community work, is involved in what's happening in housing circles, and we work on the budget as well. I just want to make a tie-in in the sense that what we're seeing here in the district is a lot of resources being cut. Programs, as you can see, dental assistance programs. We're seeing a lack of housing, housing in general, vouchers. Of course, rents are skyrocketing, have been skyrocketing. Just your day-to-day stuff that you have to purchase, groceries, medicine, that's all through the roof. So if we, what we're going to see, in my mind and opinion, and that's why I thought it was so important to have you on to make this tie-in as well, is we're going to see a lot of people that are going to be, you know, having to choose between their health care and the rent and the food, and then by extension just get sick from this, right, from this pressure that exists and keeping it together in such an expensive city. So when we have community-based healthcare providers like you all, it's important that we keep you all, you know, in your best working conditions, because that need is going to be there and is likely going to increase. I don't know, you know, if you have seen that kind of effect of how problems that compile often today, how they're playing out in people's health outcomes.
Yeah, it's very interesting because I think of money as always a part of it, but it's also time. That's why what we're asking for is to have more time with our patients and more time to take care of our patients, because time is also a scarce resource. People don't have the luxury to keep coming back again and again and again and again to the clinic. Some people, for a variety of reasons, whether they're parents with multiple children, it's not always easy to get them all in the clinic at the same time, for example, and you know, there's just so many, time is the real resource that we have to focus on in order to deliver quality primary care. Because, for example, let's say I see a patient and it takes me, maybe I'm kind of running through 10, 15 minutes total, and then I send the patient to do blood work. Okay, that's fine. The visit's over, but what happens when the blood work comes back abnormal? I need to have the time to be able to call the patient, talk to them more about what it means and what we're going to do about it and what the follow-up is. And I'm giving them my time, you know, and doing that. We're not necessarily getting, you know, it's not a visit, but we're still spending time with our patients. And so we're giving it to them. And we're, again, we love that. That's what we love. But it's a scarce resource, and we are asking for the opportunity in our contract to find a way to get that time for providers, doctors, nurse practitioners, et cetera, to do the absolute top possible care that you could possibly give to a person, and not to shortchange them. Certainly, money is also a factor. When it comes down to people feeling whether they're welcome in a clinic, if their insurance is lapsed, they feel like they can't get primary care. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Unity is that we do deliver primary care to everybody, regardless of their ability to pay, and we want to keep it that way. So the thing is that we need to continue keeping our eye on the mission of delivering quality care. No matter who the person is, anybody can come, and we'll happy to see them. And we want to make sure that care is excellent. It's not second; it's second to none.
That's right. No, that's so important. And thank you for underscoring. You know, like as you mentioned, time is such an important resource, and because we are all overworked, overburdened. These days, the more time that we can build into important parts of our lives, like making sure that we're healthy, is very important. Jimmy, if you would pardon me just one more time, I need to take a little break here just to remind folks, but let me let folks know when we come back, we are going to ask Jimmy, you can get involved if folks want to get involved, if folks want to support what's happening there with the work of the folks Jimmy's working with with the Union of Physicians and Dentists at Unity Healthcare. We're certainly going to make that information available. But let me remind folks that we are in our summer drive, and we want to thank the donor who's gotten us on the board so far. We've got, Patricia, thank you so much for your wonderful donation. We really do appreciate that. You see what happens, folks?
for answering that call. It's so important to us, and we are grateful, grateful. Patricia has become a sustainer, so thank you. Thank you so much for that. Folks, we have $280 left to raise this afternoon, and as we mentioned before, we feel that our show, what we try to bring, the value that we try to bring to this already amazing radio station that provides you with music from around the country, around the world, from back in time to today, you know, we bring you all of that, the whole gamut, and we bring you the issues that are really important, right? We bring you the updates of what's happening around the country every morning with Democracy Now! And then you have shows like ours, like Taking Action, who really try to hone in on what's happening in the District of Columbia. What are the issues that we need to pay attention to so all district residents have a better quality of life? So all district residents can benefit and enjoy in this city, right? We live in a city that's seen tremendous change, and we need to ensure that those folks who have been here, who want to continue to be here, who want to invest in this place and in its people, are able to stick around. So our show really does tries to highlight folks doing this work, providing a platform to discuss these issues, to have dialogue around it, and then more importantly, to get folks involved, right? That's inherent in the name. I think that's why we chose the name. Shout out to Parisa Naruzzi, director at Empower DC, and my co-host as well, you know, taking action. We want to make sure that this is not just, you know, to have the discussion, but to have the discussion so we are better informed to take action. And that's what we've tried to do every Tuesday. We've been doing it for several years now. And once again, we are so honored and thankful to WPFW for providing this platform. We try to bring you folks who, you know, are working in their neighborhood to, you know, big campaigns around the city. We try to bring you all of those issues. If folks have, we always encourage, if you have an issue that you feel is important that would benefit from some attention, you know, reach out to us. Let us know. We can always plan a show around that. Shout out to Michelle Tingling Clemens, who reached out to me about this issue and seeing if we had some time to devote to it, and we certainly did. So thank you, Michelle. It was as easy as that. But once again, we feel that it is really important to highlight the good work that is happening in the district. And some of the very tough issues that we're dealing with, right? Because that is important to know as well. So once again, thank you, Patricia, for your very generous donation. It really does mean a whole lot. Folks, $280 left to raise this afternoon. You can help us by calling 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739, or you can always go online to WPFWFM.org. Consider becoming a sustainer. That means that you can say, I'm going to give Taking Action $10, you know, for the next 12 months. We'll get credit for, you know, the total of that. You can do as little or as much as you want. You can do a one-time gift. But it all helps to ensure that in these tough times, in these times where the truth and just genuine voices are trying to be, you know, muffled, that we have this great platform and outlet like WPFW to bring you this type of information. We hope that we add some value to that by bringing you the show that we bring you. So thank you. Thank you in advance to anyone that could help us meet this goal. As mentioned, only $280 left to raise. 202-588-9739. 800-222-9739, or you can always go online to WPFWFM.org. Jimmy, thanks once again for, you know, being able to be with us this afternoon and bringing support. What's on the horizon next? What can folks expect to see you know, in the coming weeks and months.
We are working ourselves on bargaining for contracts. So most of the providers, in our committee are working really hard to try to come to an agreement with Unity Management as soon as possible. In order to that end, we're trying to also generate public support. For example, if there's one thing that you could do, everyone, it'd be to support WPFW, of course, because they're wonderful. But we're also thinking about other ways to support us. Would be, for example, like looking into, so people who are Unity patients, who are many in the city, or might have a family member who's a Unity patient, we're trying to get them to reach out to the site, reach out to Unity, reach out to their Unity complaint line if they're having trouble getting appointments. Make sure that we're trying to get patients more involved so that they can help to support the clinic that they rely on. So we're asking for people to reach out to the Unity complaint line or to speak just to staff staff at the clinics that they go to, or email even the upper management of Unity in order to ask them to please come to a quick agreement with the providers and a good, fair agreement with the providers so that we can start recruiting new providers. We can retain the wonderful people we have. So we're asking for patients. I think a lot of this is we really want to engage patients to help us to help themselves, really, in a way, by helping to strengthen the clinic that in some way has lost its way a little bit. And Unity needs the patients to be involved for the week as well. I mean, we're all people just working together. So I think that's a big part of it. And also, of course, other things we're looking forward to doing. As I mentioned earlier, there's a rally at Freedom Plaza on Labor Day coming up soon, and we're one of the co-sponsors, and it's going to be, so attending a rally would be great, or even just posting our Instagram, going to our Instagram page and sharing some of the content we have, which includes rallies that we've done, and press conferences, just sharing it, just to sort of spread what's going on, especially because so many people, even listeners right now, are directly impacted by this. This isn't my pet project, of course.
That's right.
Something that involves people, regular folks all over the city, and who are just trying to get good health care from the place that they've always expected to get good health care. They always have. But we're definitely in a situation where it's going to take everybody, and so a lot of it is outreach and just keeping this in people's minds and asking for support just to put pressure on everybody involved to try to make the clinic better as soon as possible.
Thank you for that. And just to reiterate that point, this is not like some sort of boutique, unique issue, right, that affects only a certain amount of folks. Our health care, provision is something that we all need here in the district. And the more options that we have to seek out those services, the better served our city is, the residents of the district are. So thank you again for bringing that up. Jimmy, as we close up, is there a number, email, website that folks should check out if they want to find out more?
Absolutely. So you can look us up on Instagram. We are UAPD. That's the Union of American Physicians and Dentists. So UAPD, you can look for our Instagram. But you can also feel free to email us if you want to help. So the email address is UnityHealthcareProviders@UAPD.com. That's UnityHealthcareProviders@UAPD.com. My name is Jimmy Tracy, and I am I would love to hear from anybody in any way they can help. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, once again, Jimmy, thank you so much for being available to join us this afternoon and for bringing us this important information that affects so many district residents. It truly is important, and we look forward to having you on. Hopefully, better news. I really appreciate the way that you all are approaching this. It's not a confrontational way. It's like, let's work together to make sure that district residents are receive the care that they deserve and need. So thank you once again for your work and everybody that you're working with.
Thank you, Daniel. Everyone support WTPFW. They're a treasure, a local treasure for sure. And thank you, Daniel, for the time.
No problem. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks, we just spoke with Jimmy Tracy. He's been doing some work to make sure that the working conditions for folks at Unity Healthcare are improved, which translates into better services and outcomes, health outcomes for their patients. I want to thank Anonymous. Anonymous just made another generous donation. They say, thank you for bringing us the information. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for finding value in the programming that we bring you. And as we close out, I just want to make one last call to see if anybody can help us out. We've got $230 left to raise. We can certainly use help right here at the end of the show. The number to call if you can help us is 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739. Or you can always go online to WPFWFM.org. It's our honor. It's our pleasure. We are thankful not only to WPFW, but to its listeners, to the community that we've built here that listen to us on every Tuesday at 1 p.m., appreciate the information that we bring you. But also, as a fellow WPFW listener, we've got the radio on all the time. We're listening to all the programming, and we are better served for that. It expands, our musical taste here in my family. It expands our knowledge of what's happening in the district and in the world. So really, really thankful for this platform and to you all who say, hey, this is important. I'm going to invest the hard-earned money that I have to ensure that this radio station, that Taking Action is around and that WPFW is around. So we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Encourage you in these last minutes to make a donation right before we have to get off. 202-588-9739, 800-222-9739, or WPFWFM.org. We make this work together. There ain't no other way around it. So please, if you can, consider making a donation. Make sure to stay tuned. You've got the news coming up in just a couple of minutes. Then you've got COVID, race, and democracy following. And we will catch you all next Tuesday. Thank you to Jimmy once again for being with us and for taking the time to speak with us. And thank you once again to Patricia Anonymous for your very, very thoughtful and generous donations. And we really love your words. That means a lot. And we will catch you next Tuesday. See you, everybody. Peace.
Every Thursday morning from 2 to 5 a.m., Spirits Free Radio, hosted by DJ M, presents a variety of jazz music, from free and spiritual to cool and smooth to groovy and funky. That's Spirits Free Radio, every Thursday, 2 to 5 a.m. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Brazilian music is back in its righteous place on WPFW. I'm your host, Roberto, and Berimbau airs on Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. Are you ready to take a trip from Rio Grande do Sul to Amazon and back? That's Berimbau, Sundays, 8 to 10 p.m. on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. As the summer rolls along, so is an increase of COVID-19 cases. According to the CDC, more than half of America, that's 27 states to be exact, are reporting very high levels of COVID activity. The CDC's data was collected by testing wastewater or sewage, which can be used to detect traces of infectious diseases circulating in a community, even if people do not have symptoms. The data can serve as an early warning that levels of infections may be increasing or decreasing in a community. The CDC's list of possible COVID symptoms include fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, sore throat, congestion or runny nose, new loss of taste or smell, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, nausea or vomiting, and diarrhea. Doctors say that people with mild cases typically experience symptoms for 5 to 10 days. However, many may start to feel better sooner than that. The CDC has already recommended that everyone over the age of 6 months old get an updated COVID vaccine this season. Federal health authorities indicate that updated COVID vaccines are set to be available this fall. 2.5 years have elapsed since Russia began its invasion into Ukraine. Now, Russian President Vladimir Putin is promising to retaliate after Ukraine's military seized hundreds of square miles of Russian territory in a surprise offensive attack. One Russian governor said the offensive attack killed at least 12 civilians while displacing more than 120,000 others. Some evacuees said they barely escaped with their lives. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said the offensive attack was aimed at forcing Russia to negotiate for peace. He said, and I quote, "Russia brought war to others, and now it is coming home," end quote. Vladimir Putin accused Ukraine's army of committing war crimes, and he accused the United States and its allies of waging war against Russia using Ukrainians. Since the offensive attack, Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal urged President Biden to lift all restrictions on Ukraine's use of United States-made weapons. To your local news, in New York City and New Jersey, applications for permits to carry guns have increased since the United States Supreme Court made it easier for people to arm themselves in the summer of 2022. According to recent police data, the NYPD received more than 11,000 applications for concealed carry permits between 2022 and the beginning of March 2024. More than 1,800 people applied in just the first 2 months of this year. By comparison, the NYPD received only 315 applications for concealed carry permits in all of the year 2021. In New Jersey, officials received about 41,000 new applications between 2022 and June 30th, 2024. Almost 12,500 of them came in just the first 6 months of this year. Latif Dickerson, master instructor at the New Jersey Firearms Academy in Jersey City, weighed in on the number of people applying for concealed carry licenses, saying, and I quote, "A lot of people are not going to rely on the police for their personal safety. They'd rather be able to protect themselves and their family," end quote. To the D.C. area, one D.C. public charter school is about to train all its staff members to recognize potential mental health concerns in students. This will be the first year that staff members at Howard University Middle School of Mathematics and Science in D.C. will be trained in a new program called Notice, Talk, Act. Catherine Prokop, executive director of the middle school, said it's important to her that not just teachers, but everyone from the cafeteria staff to the facility staff have access to the Notice, Talk program, because everybody interacts with the young people. And what one person